Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking to Dr. Fred Pescatore, who is a physician in practice here in New York City, author of the Hamptons Diet book, but also an expert on probiotics. He's written an interesting book entitled, he's written so many books that I have to go way down the list. What's the probiotic book entitled?
Boost Your Health with Bacteria.
Yeah, you know, that's a good book, but I said, you know, my favorite book of yours is Feed Your Kids Well. That's a very interesting book. Because that's a very niched book, and I think it's such an important topic these days, you know, with all this fuss, Michelle Obama, and, you know, school lunches and things like that. What's your, you know, I'm going to digress a little bit. We were talking earlier about probiotics, but I'm going to digress a little bit. What's your take on this current controversy about the school lunches? And, you know, some people say we're forcing kids to eat foods, and then they leave the foods on the plate. It's a waste, and we should just let them eat what they want, and, or maybe leave it to the parents to do that. Is there a role for government to enforce these diet guidelines?
Yes, there has to be a role for government. Would we let kids smoke? No. Would we let them not do their homework? No. I mean, there are things that would we let them drink alcohol? No. And we wouldn't let the teenagers do.
But we let them eat junk with impunity, and we feed them junk at school.
No, and we encourage them to eat junk. I mean, that is what we give them, regardless of the fact. When you look at studies that show, when you give kids food that's actually good and healthy and nutritious for them, they will have better grades. There's less behavioral problems. It turns the schools around, and they've done these studies, and it's not any more expensive than feeding them the junk food. And I don't know about you, but even where we live, Ron, and we have some pretty expensive secondary schools and grade schools in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And even they have some difficulty. Only now are they starting to come around and feeding the kids better food, despite how much they were charging for it. So it's really just distressing to me that we allow children to make their own decisions when it comes to food. And we don't allow them to make their own decisions about anything.
Yeah.
Hardly.
Yeah.
But yet about food, sure, go ahead and eat ice cream all day long. Go ahead and buy candy from the candy machine.
But the advertisement is really seductive for the kids. I mean, by the time they're three or four, they have identified all the cartoon characters, and they see the characters on the boxes, and they make these multi-zillion dollar deals between the movies and the food manufacturers and the TV shows, and you're just off to the races with these kids. I mean, what are we going to do? Do we need to regulate the ads?
Oh, I think we absolutely have to. We regulate cigarette ads. We regulate tobacco ads.
Yep.
Why can't we regulate junk food ads? I don't get this. I don't get it for adults. I don't get why New York City was not allowed to ban more than 16-ounce sodas. I mean, I don't get the whole rationale behind why people are so afraid that the government is going to tell them that they can't eat something that they might want to eat. Well, the government tells us what to do every single day in our lives.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Well, I think there is a little bit of a disconnect, though, because I personally think that the way it really needs to start is in the home. And if you have a discordance, if you're not on the same page, you know, if the parents are eating junk food and they allow the kids to eat junk food, and then you go to the school and you see food that is totally alien to you, you say, like, oh, my goodness, what is that? Oh, that's a carrot. Or, oh, my goodness, that's broccoli. Oh, I've never even, you know, I go to a supermarket sometimes, and when I go through the checkout counter, the kids, the pimply-faced teenage kid who's, like, running the cash register sometimes raises up a common fruit or vegetable and says, price check, what's this? You know, and it could be like a turnip. They've never seen it before. or a leek.
I said that in my book, Feed
Your
Kids Well, actually. I said you have to lead by example. And if you don't feed, you know, if you don't feed the kids vegetables, if you don't eat vegetables yourself, how are they going to?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to do it. You've got to figure out ways of getting vegetables or salads into your kids' lives. But you have to like it, too. So that you bring up an excellent point, because that's one of the main points of Feed Your Kids Well, is that you have to do it, too.
Yeah.
The whole family has to do this. You can't just single out the kids. I mean, but...
Did you see the Fed Up movie? Right? Did you see the movie Fed Up?
Yes.
Wasn't that great? I mean, and also, you know what was nice about that movie, Fred, is that for the first time in a movie about food, they did not demonize animal protein. Instead, that movie was more oriented towards refined carbohydrates, which I think is more, that message is more true to your orientation, having worked at the Atkins Center and being a longtime advocate of a low-carb diet. That movie probably resonated for you.
Yeah, it really did, because it looked at, it really tried to, I think, take a look at the bigger picture of food. And what I'm really happy about is not only about that, I mean, we're also getting the message that even Time Magazine is saying that fat is not the culprit anymore. Putting that on the cover of, you know, a national American magazine is pretty bold. It's a pretty bold statement, and going against everything the American Heart Association says, everything the American Medical Association said, the food pyramid says, but it's about time. I mean, it really, when you look at what sugar and refined carbohydrates have done to us, it really is, I mean, well, it's brought on this diabetes epidemic. I mean, because in the 50s, we weren't all fat. We weren't all fat until we started eating processed, refined foods. And it's kind of funny to me, because I used to blame people, Ron. I used to say, you know, I'm thin. I know people who are thin. Yep. You know, they can watch what they eat. So what's wrong with them? And then I looked at it, and you always have to take a step back, because I guess I got so, you know, I'm so involved in this message. And so I took a step back and I said, you know what? People were actually following the advice of what was told to them.
Yeah, yeah.
They were told to eat low fat. They were told to eat pasta. They were told to do all of that.
The food pyramid said have 6 to 12 servings of whole grains. And of course, the food manufacturers are very happy to provide you with whole grain bagels and whole grain cereal, which is mostly sugar and colorings and a little bit of whole grain thrown in. And they were happy to oblige.
Yep, they made lots and lots and lots of money, and everybody got fat. And so, and now it's kind of, how do you stop this? How do you stop this cannonball? And so I don't blame people anymore, because they were listening to the message and they were buying the foods that the food manufacturers were supposed to tell them. I mean, they told them eggs weren't good for this, so people stopped eating eggs. Well,
right.
They're one of the healthiest foods you can eat. We know that, right? And lean protein sources and good legumes, and there's good vegetable sources of protein as well that we forget about. Nuts. Everybody used to tell everybody don't eat nuts at all, and now even the American Heart Association says
they're fatty. Nuts. They're fatty, a source of fat. Oh my goodness,
A good source of fat.
Yeah.
They're a good healthy source of fat, and we have just. The marketing and the messaging is so bad, and this whole gluten-free thing is just a whole other marketing. I mean, I don't believe people should be eating gluten, but what the products have become are just as bad as refined carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Basically, they are refined carbohydrates. They're potato and tapioca instead of wheat.
This is an example of co-optation. They can take any phenomenon in America, like when the first original hip-hop artists appeared, and they were edgy and, they were like in your face and really anti-establishment. They co-opted it. The clothing manufacturers made the pants and the sneakers, to conform so that every, white suburban kid in the suburbs could emulate, Tupac Shakur. Same thing with the hippie movement, and what we grew up with, which was revolutionary, but then it got taken over and co-opted, and we had it turned it into a fashion statement and way of selling stuff to people, consumer goods. And similarly, the gluten thing is okay. This is a really important phenomenon. I mean, I think it's revolutionized our practices to recognize that some people do much better without any gluten. I mean, I can't tell you the number of patients that I've helped. I'm sure you have. But then it spawned a whole industry. You could go to health fairs now, where they show new products, and the whole room is full of gluten-free Oreos, gluten-free donuts, gluten-free pancakes, waffles. Is that necessarily good?
No, it's definitely not good. Is the issue. I mean, it's definitely not good. I mean, it's just like when there was low fat everything, and then there was the low carb everything. I mean, people lie on packaging, they lie on labels. It's just another form of junk food, because it's in the food manufacturing industry's best benefits to keep us all overweight and eating more. So if we were all thin and ate half of what we did, then they'd be making half the amount of profit. And so therefore, it's a vicious cycle that I just can't figure out how to wrap my head around where it's going to start. And we have to jump in and start somewhere, because I almost see it like a, you know, this catch-22. It's impossible to start. But maybe, you know, maybe it's something, maybe it's the Surgeon General, you know, the Surgeon General report did to smoking. Look what it did to smoking, you know. It totally changed cigarette smoking almost overnight. And maybe we need something like that in our in our hands. And
well,
I almost feel like we have it, but people are not are too afraid to say it.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of counterforces, you know, like people, it's America, you know, we have freedom of choice, freedom of expression. There's a great deal of resentment when government tries to encroach on individual rights. And, you know, and I get that. But we really need to get in there and do something to, because this is a national emergency. We're not even able to field troops who are normal weight, who can pass fitness tests. And, you know, this is going to sap our productivity and drain our economy for decades to come. It's going to be horrible. So, yeah, I wanted to come back to one of your books. And, you know, then we'll talk about your visit to Japan to visit the Dr. Ohira's manufacturing facility, because that's an interesting story. Your book is, I think your lead book, the book that you really achieved breakthrough success with, was The Hamptons Diet. And for some people, that conjures up images of caviar and Veuve Clicquot champagne or something. You know, it's like a very, boy, it's like everything is very expensive. It's an effete diet. It's like for those, you know, folks on the East End, you know, living in fancy mansions in Sagaponack. So what's it all about?
Well, it's really not. I mean, to me, yes, the Hamptons does have all of that. But when I started going to the Hamptons many, many years ago as a child, it was all about, we used to call it the country. It was not about going to the beach, it was about going to the country. And it was farmland, and it still is. I want people to understand that there's still a lot of working farms. My favorite organic farm that's been organic since the 1700s is still there, hasn't changed since I was a child. And I get all of my produce from them, and it kills me the day they close. It's usually the first weekend in December. So to me, the Hamptons mean good cooking, home cooking, food that I can get from the farm right down the block. I can go fishing if I wanted to and catch. I mean, off of Montauk, you can catch tuna that they send off to Japan. It's so good.
Yeah.
Swordfish, you can catch bluefish right off. You can just throw a rod out on the beach while you're sitting there. So you can go clamming and you can get oysters.
Yeah, I do that right in front of my house. You know, out there, I'm in Hampton Bays. I can actually catch them with my feet. It's really fun. You know, so you get down there and you kind of scoop them up and then thrust them up to the surface.
Yeah, so that's what the Hamptons mean. That's the Hamptons to me. So that's why I called it the Hamptons diet, because I think a really healthy diet is all about eating fresh, local, seasonal, and organic if possible, which is how I eat in the Hamptons. And also, it's really lean protein. When you look at all the science and you cut out all of the frills of diets, right? They all come down to the same thing, which is don't eat sugar, don't eat processed foods, don't eat white foods, and eat, like, you know, eat legumes and lean proteins and vegetables, and you'll be healthy. And that's really all the Hamptons diet is trying to explain that in a way that Americans could resonate with, and they actually did. So I was really happy about that.
Well, yeah.
Continue to do so. So
yeah, it was really a success, and it's one of those classic books that's really made it. Now, your website, drpescatori.com, drpescatori.com, also is really nicely designed. There are a lot of resources there, but people can actually subscribe to your newsletter through the website, correct?
Yes, I have an e-newsletter that goes out 3 times a week, and it's free. So you just have to go on the website and sign up, and you'll get to hear me 3 days a week.
Well, and what are the kinds of things that people are going to get? What do you write about?
Oh, I write about all of the latest studies that come out, whether it's about nutritional supplements, what's going on in the health food industry or the faux health food industry. I mean, there's some political commentary, not on politics, but on the politics of our science and the science. And so what you're getting is really the nutritional science that you can actually use to bring to your doctor and say, see, I'm not nuts. This is why I'm taking this supplement.
Absolutely. And What is Logical Health Alternatives? I see it there. Is that the title of the newsletter?
That's the title of the newsletter, yes.
Wow, that sounds an awful like intelligent medicine, doesn't it? Great minds think alike. Logical Health Alternatives. It's alternative, but it's logical. Very good.
And it'll make you healthy.
Indeed.
Listen to us, people. It'll make you healthy.
So tell us a little bit about, coming back to the subject of probiotics. You were fortunate enough to be invited to go to Japan to see the manufacturing facility for Dr. Hira's. Which is, by the way, a very ancient manufacturing facility, if I'm not mistaken. They've been making these products, products like this, fermented products, for centuries, literally.
Yes, literally for centuries. And, I mean, the beauty of it, the sheer beauty of that facility is the fact of how these bugs are grown. So it's all naturally fermented foods, fermented in that real, proper way, not this faux fermenting that we alluded to earlier, but they're fermented in a really good way. These bugs live together in harmony for 3 to 5 years, and they're stirred, and they live through the seasons, so they learn how to live in winter, they learn how to live in summer, spring, fall, and here's the funny part is, Mozart music is played.
Okay.
And, Mozart music has been shown to work wonders in making smarter things, smarter mm-hmm. people, and works in ADD kids, perhaps. And
well, they actually say that plants grow better when that classical music is played, strangely. I mean, they have no conscious appreciation, but at some level, good vibrations. That's
so.
True. I mean, some people that I know have the consciousness of a vegetable, perhaps, but...
So the converse is therefore likely to be true.
I guess so.
So these bugs grow together, and they're harmonious, and they create all of these things that I talked about before, the prebiotics that are there, the bacteria, those 12 strains. Those are not man-made nor artificially created. Those are what happens when you take a bunch of vegetables and fruits and put them together and allow them to ferment for 3 to 5 years together, and that's what you get. You get a natural living organism that doesn't need to be refrigerated, that you can carry with you everywhere, and it's super convenient and one of the healthiest nutritional supplements you can take, and certainly the healthiest probiotic, in my opinion.
And they have a website too, I guess. Is it under Essential Formulas?
Essential Formulas, yeah. It's essentialformulas.com. And they actually have a great soap, which I really like for eczema and psoriasis patients. Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of really good things. I encourage people to check it out.
Okay, good. So our intelligent medicine call to action today is visit your website, drpescatori.com. Also consider consulting you as, on a professional basis, because you have a center in New York where you offer a similar approach to medicine that I offer. Also, you work together, you have ancillary staff that you work with in that center?
Yes, I have. I have a nutritionist, a podiatrist, and a craniosacral therapist.
Okay, very good. So there's a variety of services that are offered through the Pescatori Center. Additionally, call to action to visit essentialformulas.com and check out the Dr. Ahira's probiotic product, as well as your books, which you can check out on your website, drpescatori.com. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we've done a great job of talking about probiotics, and hopefully people will get the message that it's not just for irritable bowel health. It's for everything.
Absolutely. It's an essential requisite when it comes to the basic supplements people should be taking. You can't go wrong.
Absolutely not.
Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Fred Pescatori.
Thank you for having me, Ron. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.